To our visitors, welcome. The men take turns in preaching the sermon, so today is my day. And it's been a while since I've been up here, but it's good to be back up here. And I really appreciate the opportunity for me to share some thoughts with you today. If you'd like to just kind of, the other thing, I don't do PowerPoint. I like to hear the rustle of the pages going back and forth in the Bible and stuff, so I do not do any PowerPoint. So if you want to follow along, I'll give the scripture and then I'll let you catch up with me and stuff. But anyway, if you want to mark Ecclesiastes chapter 9, kind of put your thumb there, that I'm going to be making a reference probably about three or four different scriptures from that chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes. You know, we all know of people that spend a lot of time, I know a lot of people that do this, anxious time over things that are really out of their control. They stew, they fret, they wonder. But folks, some of that is completely out of your control. I know, give you a couple examples here. When I was younger, one of the big things that I really didn't have any control about, I had an uncle in my family, and I just basically, no pun intended, I looked up to him because he was like 6'4" when he was like in junior high school. And boy, I really wanted to be tall, you know, but I'm looking at him when I'm like 7, 8 years old. And I'm just wondering, you know, man, it'd be great to be that tall. It'd just be great to be that tall as Uncle Eldon. But I had no control over that. I did grow up a little bit. I had no control over my height. And, you know, as years went on, as I got older, this same uncle, he must have been blessed, I guess, because he had the full head of hair, the curly hair, stuff like that. Well, I see people laughing. I rest my case on that part of it anyway. And stuff. But they worry, you know, people worry about, you know, or am I going to have gray hair? Am I going to be bald? Whatever. I mean, you have no control over that. Well, I guess the gray hair, you can go to the drugstore, you can go get a little Grecian formula or whatever the case may be and take care of that in short order, but the balding, not so much and stuff. But, you know, there are even things that we think that we can control because of our talent or our skill as we get older, as adults, that are not fully in our control. And the first scripture that I like to read from is Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. And it talks a little bit about this. That's Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. It says, I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle is not to the warriors. And neither is bread to the wise, nor wealth to the discerning, nor favor to men of ability. For time and chance overtake them all. You know, we all can make plans to control what we'd like to have happen or not happen in our lives. But ultimately, we must acknowledge that we do have limitations. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 4, starting at verse number 13. It talks a little bit more about we must acknowledge our limitations here, because beginning at verse number 13 in James 4, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. And that leads me into the title of my sermon this morning, that we cannot control events around us, but there are things that we can control. One thing that we can control is to enjoy what we have. Back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, this time verse number 7. It talks about, go then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart. For God has already approved your works. Enjoy what we have. You know, I know a lot of us out in the audience today, we've taken vacations, and you plan weeks, plan months, maybe even some of you plan for years of what you would like to do on this vacation. Well, just imagine you do all this planning. You want to see this, you want to see that, you want to go here, you want to go there, and you just rush in, rush out once you get to your vacation destination, and just rush in, rush out, see everything that you can. Sure, you'll see a lot when you do that, but you think it'll be an enjoyable vacation if you're on the run all the time. You know, folks, all of us, we're traveling through this world, and yet how many of us take the time to enjoy our temporary stay while we're here? We need to take time to enjoy the blessings that God has given each and every one of us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And Mark read part of this in her scripture reading this morning, but I'm going to skip down to verse number 31. Matthew 6. I'm going to start at 31 and go to the end of the chapter, to 33. But it says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Folks, when we place God first, then God sees to all of our needs. And when we place God first, there shouldn't be any reason, no need to worry, or no need to hurry. When we place God first, we need, once again, all of us, to take the time to enjoy the gifts that God has granted us. Let's turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Beginning at verse number 7. And it says here, for we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. Because if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Another thing that you can control, besides enjoying what we have, is we need to make each moment special. There's no guarantees. We all know Reddit, know people, friends, neighbor, relatives that shoulda, woulda, coulda, and they didn't. Make each moment special. going back to Ecclesiastes 9, this time, verse number 8. I'm going to read this first, and then this goes back to Jesus' time. It says, "Let your clothes be white all the time, and let not oil be lacking from your head." Because in the days of Jesus, this is definitely before automatic washing machines and dryers, it was difficult to keep your clothes truly spotless. Without a doubt, back in Jesus' day, clothing was very, very, very expensive. So most people wore basically the same thing day in and day out. But when a special occasion would arise, a person would go out of their way making sure those clothes were well washed. And perfumes or oils that is mentioned here, they were mostly oil-based, but the ingredients for a good perfume was very, very expensive in the days of old. But again, you necessarily didn't wear perfume each and every day, but for special occasions, you wouldn't mind the extra expense of putting on perfume. And that applies to today also. Because when a person, dirty clothes, unwashed bodies, unkept hair, they indicate that it's a sign that you're telling those around you that you really don't care. You really don't care about yourself. You really don't care about others. But what is really tragic is the fact they fail to find joy in life because they're looking for something more instead of celebrating what you have. Each individual, it depends on what they're looking for more. Do I need a better paying job? Do I need a bigger house? Do I need a boat? Do I need a nicer car? Whatever the case may be. Looking for more, more, more instead of celebrating what you already have. Another thing that we can control, this applies to the folks that are married. You need to enjoy your marriage. Because, once again, in Ecclesiastes 9:9, it talks here, "Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun." You need to enjoy the marriage. Because didn't God state right at the beginning of the Bible, I want to say back in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, something to the effect that God stated it was not good for man to be alone at the beginning of the Bible. Because our mates that we have are gifts from God, with whom to have someone to share the joys of life. It goes hand in hand. We share together. We're in this together. Proverbs 18 and verse number 22. It reads, Proverbs 18, verse 22. "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." You know, what kind of puzzles me, and I imagine it puzzles a lot of you also, we select our mates. But it is amazing to me how many people believe they are miserable with a person of their choice. Because, folks, marriage is your reward. It's not a punishment. Because a lot of people in this world today, They make themselves miserable because we think we could be better if what? I'll let you fill in the blanks. Other things that you can control. Do your work well. Not haphazardly, do it well. You know, I can remember, once again, rolling the clock back, starting from our days in school. And you'll probably agree with me on some of these. There were days that when came time, Mom came to the bottom of the stairs, or Dad says, hey, it's time to get going to school. You just kind of, we just dreaded to go. I mean, you know, there's other things that we'd rather do, whether we want to stay home, play catch in the backyard, watch TV, go on the bike rides, whatever the case may be. We just hated to go to school. And I'll vouch for that. I was one of those kids. That there was just days that you just kind of dreaded to do your work. But the thing was that there was nothing really, you know, particularly important about not going to school, but it was just different from what we were required to do. Yeah, I mean, I like to ride the bike. Was that important? No, not really, but it was just change as opposed to going to school, listen to the teachers, study, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic and stuff. And there are some people that take what they learned in like in grade school about that and they carry it into their adult life. There's other things I'd rather be doing as opposed to going to services on a Sunday morning, serving the Lord. Let's go fishing. Let's go hunting. Let's stay home and watch the ball game. Because it is just carried over to their adult life. But life, without a doubt, and I think everybody will agree with me on this, is too short to be miserable. We all need to be taking pleasure in what we are doing. Work as for the Lord. Because in Colossians, we're going to Colossians chapter 3. And starting at verse number 22, it reads, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. You know, as time goes on in our lives, each and every one of us will come to a day when we would like to do some work, but the body does not respond to that. I'm not just talking physical labor. There is a time, a day will come, that our bodies won't be able to respond. Folks, we need to take advantage of the opportunities we have when we're able. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse number 15. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. You know, when we have opportunities to serve the Lord directly, we should eagerly give our all. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about this. beginning at verse number 24. This is a familiar reading for a lot of you. For 1 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse number 24. It starts out and it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." You know, actually, our attitude towards what we have, that is what we can control. Because you got choices. Life is full of choices. You can choose to be miserable, or you can choose life as it comes to you. Because, folks, events happen to each and every one of us. You didn't plan on it. You didn't wish for it. It happened. Those are things that are completely out of our control. But the attitude that we have as we face those events, that we can control. Because we as Christians, we can be so much more by following the words of the Bible. We need to hear Jesus, where it reads, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. "For if ye believe that I am not he, ye shall die in your sins." And about those sins, we need to repent of those sins. "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Confess Jesus. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Be baptized. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." And last but not least, we need to be faithful always. Because faith is not believing that God can, it's knowing that God will. If there are those present today that are not a Christian and would like to become one, everything is ready. Or if there are those who need our prayers, or to make themselves right with God, we ask that you please come forward as we sing this song of invitation that Brother Dwight has selected.